There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hey, Four Center friends, make sure you're keeping up to date on all the great content from Jennifer Landa. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you whippersnappers, Four Center's own Jennifer Landa continues to bring you fun, informative, and insightful laughs and moments.
Also, Jennifer brings her experience and perspective as a Star Wars-loving mother to her DIY projects, blogs, and more. So be sure to head on over to JennyLanda.com, that's JennyLanda.com, for articles like how to make your own Darth Maul sneakers or 10 unique Star Wars baby gift ideas.
Follow Jen on Twitter and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and on TikTok as JenniferLanda1138.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Four Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napzok, and this is another edition of Star Wars Rank. Me, a guest, and my sinus infection, ranking Star Wars. That's right. Joseph Scrimshaw, get in here before my voice gives out. How are you, my friend?
I am happy to be here, and I am happy to not have a sinus infection. I apologize. That sounds cruel, but I empathize with what you're going through.
Hey, look, the world's getting back to normal, right? That includes getting a little sick because you're
to around people, which is a dangerous thing. Everybody be careful, remain distant, wear your mask, all those things. I'm fine. I don't have that illness. Thank God, knock on wood. I just, got a little overzealous shaking some hands after a comedy show, masks and all. It didn't matter. Shake a hand, rub an eye. You might get a little sinus infection. So, just want to acknowledge that in case you hear my voice and you think something's wrong with your podcast player.
I do understand. Like, I have had a little bit of a cough, which I often have a little bit of a cough. I have now had my second vaccine, so it is not the virus. But I was why do I have this cough? And then I had been dusting in my home,
right,
which I've been living in constantly for months. And when I dusted something and saw the cloud of dust, I was like, oh, that's where that cough came from, idiot.
Idiot indeed. No, hey, you know, it's so funny. We all want to race back fully, and I think we've all had those moments where maybe you've done something and you feel great, but you also feel guilty and or just like, oh, was it too soon? And we're all going to deal with that in our own way, in our own time. But I had one of those. First night, super careful. Second night, that was a great set, give me a drink, let me shake your hand. Boom. Be careful, people. But real world coming into Star Wars. Let's get into the fun world of Star Wars. Joseph, today we're going to rank the best cameos in Star Wars. We are going to go through mostly the movies. Other things could pop up over time. I guess you can't really do a cameo in a comic book or a novel, but it's possible, I guess. So mostly it's a big screen. But Joseph, this is a fun list. We always say it's hard, but more than I thought, you know?
Yeah, no, this was really great. There were definitely a few that just popped to my mind immediately of ones that I, you know, think about a lot and I enjoy. And then it was fun to do a deep dive of just kind of Googling, like, are there some that I forgot about? And there are a lot of them. This was a great reminder when you suggested doing cameos. Yeah, my mind went to movies. We probably could do, you know, certainly episodes of Clone Wars and things like that. Cameos can mean so many different things, right? It can be like an actual relatively known famous person who has a walk by. It can be like somebody who's involved in the production. It can be somebody who wasn't particularly well known when they filmed this, and then it becomes a cameo. It can mean so many different things.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's, you know, Mandalorian seems to be making an art form of the cameo. Did you tell jokes in the 90s? Get in here. You're on our show. So, yeah. And it changes over time. The definition of cameo, like, I'll say right now, I saw a lot of lists. I did the search. You did too, Joseph, where you're just like, what did I miss? People putting Simon Pegg as a cameo. Not a cameo to me. That was a casted role.
Yep, a pretty major player with many lines.
Yeah, yeah. So this is, like Joseph said, sometimes it's the background, sometimes it's a line. Sometimes we look back years later and go, oh, unbelievable. They were in a Star Wars picture. So with that said, we're going to dive into our list, working 5-1. Joseph, beginning with your number 5.
My number 5 is one that I think about a lot, so I wanted to share it first. And that is sound designer, editor, many different things to Star Wars over the years, Ben Burtt as Colonel Dyer in Return of the Jedi. This has always been a moment that I have loved. And then when I got older and somebody explained the birds and bees of Star Wars. That was a weird analogy. And I realized it was Ben Burtt. It only made me enjoy this moment more. If anybody is not familiar with Colonel Dyer, spelled D-Y-E-R, but the name is indicative of the character's fate. This is the moment when Han and Leia and Chewie think they've got everything under control in the shield generator bunker. And they are caught by the Imperials. And Colonel Dyer pops out and says, freeze. And Han does... This is why the moment, why I always love the moment, Han does one of my favorite things that heroes and combatants can do. Just throw whatever is in your hands. And Han has the toolbox. He doesn't take the time to quick draw his blaster. He just throws the toolbox into Colonel Dyer's chest. He flips over and screams dying. I think there's a railing right there. But see, this is why the Empire doesn't bother with railings. They don't really help when it comes down to it. You get hit in the chest with the toolbox by Han Solo, you're still going over, railing or no railing. So, yeah, I always love that moment because it was that moment of just like, oh, no, they're caught. But here's that rebel spirit and that ingenuity of Han to just throw the toolbox. But it's not enough because, of course, then Renz comes in and says, you rebel scum. then, so I always love the moment, but then Ben Burtt, right? I mean, Ben Burtt is one of the, I won't say unsung heroes of Star Wars. He's definitely sung, but he could be sung constantly. The sound design of Star Wars obviously is a huge part of what makes Star Wars. His huge and thorough involvement in the prequels, even beyond sound design. So it's great to just honor the character. And then this additional detail, or not the character, but the person playing the character, the additional detail that makes me really love this, Ken, is when Colonel Dyer falls, the noise that we hear is Ben Burtt himself with his mouth recreating his own Wilhelm scream. That's his impression of a Wilhelm scream. So it's just the cherry on top of this cameo Sunday.
I love Sundays, and I love this one because this is layered. You've hit all the layers. And put a pin in kind of this concept. I'm going to come back to this with one of my choices of such an iconic scene or moment in Return of the Jedi that you grow up with as a kid that suddenly takes on new, bigger meaning when you learn who's in it. And yeah. I remember the moment. I was still young, but we're talking like it went 5 or 6, 7, 8, maybe even a decade. I can't remember. It might have been during high school for me, which would be the early 90s, where I discovered this, and I just I felt dumb, but in like the most magical way. I felt like the end of Dirty Rotten Scoundrels, where Michael Caine and Steve Martin realize they're the ones that have been hoodwinked by the Jackal, Glenn Headey, and they got and Michael Caine has that look of like, we fell for it. I just remember going that, oh my God, it was in front of me the whole time. Love it.
Yeah, yeah, and it is. It's I think there is something about that too, like the way it's shot. I don't think in 83 when it came out, we were as obsessed with behind the scenes.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's still shot that even if you were like the most obsessive behind the scenes person and you knew what Ben Burtt looked like, it's still not so in your face that it takes you out of the movie.
Yeah.
You know, it's still an Imperial, not, sound designer Ben Burtt.
Yeah.
Which helps it, really work in the film and then be this extra layer.
Yeah, and it's a great moment. It's Han Solo almost at his most Indiana Jones for me. Like you said, just grab this, throw it. I can see Indy doing that as well. And then, I'm not much for puns. I know you're not much for puns, but Star Wars has some good kind of punny names at times. Colonel Dyer is up there with Jedi Master. I'm gonna die. Like, it's okay.
Yeah, I think here's the thing is like sometimes I don't like puns because they don't contain meaning sometimes. It's just wordplay. And sometimes that can not be for me. But then when you add the darkness of death, that makes puns work for me. So
it does. I always say puns aren't comedy. They're party tricks. And I actually agree with you. Add some darkness. You've got a purpose. You've got a purpose to your pun.
So two cheers for Colonel Dyer. That's my number five best cameos in Star Wars.
Love it. My number five is one I know that is on your kind of interested list as well, Joseph. So let's get right to this one. My number five is Mr. Bond himself, Daniel Craig in The Force Awakens. It's FN-1824. Now, there's a lot to love about this, including a little bit of the same feeling where after the first viewing of The Force Awakens, I didn't come racing out of there going, guys, did you see Daniel Craig? I didn't. But rumors in this internet age, if it had been 1983, we would have had Alex Damon Sr. would have done a wonderful Star Wars Explain. That's Ben Burtt. So we come out of the first that first kind of week of Force Awakens, and it was like, people think it's Daniel Craig. And remember, there have been rumors about him on the set, but people were like, they're just filming Bond next door, which I do believe was the case. So the second viewing, it was like unmistakable, and it just, again, I had that same feeling. I shouldn't have, but it just blew my mind. Like that, it does. It sounds. He walks like him, sounds like him. How could I miss it? How could I miss it? And therefore, it is one of the things. And then still, every once in a while, Joseph, you'll come across someone who, fortunately for them, they don't live in the Star Wars news world every day, and you'll still get to wow them with that fact. So, I love Daniel Craig as James Bond. I know you're a big Bond fan. I'm a big fan of all the Craig Bond movies have something for me in them. And I like his take on it. And that was a fun thrill for me. Bond as a stormtrooper.
Yeah, there's so much great stuff in what you said. First off, just the idea of Star Wars Explained, Alex Damon's dad. Also explaining Star Wars back in the day, like going like from library to library with like a slideshow explaining Star Wars, and here is the slide that shows you where Ben Burtt was in Return of the Jedi. I love that idea. We got to ask Alex what his dad actually did for a living, because now I'm fascinated.
Yeah.
But back to the point. Yes, this one was on my runner-up, and I'm glad that you chose to highlight it. It only got bumped by things that I was more fascinated by. This is one of those cameos to me that is like almost the perfect mix of it doesn't take you out of the film because he's covered head to toe in armor, right? What is going on with Rey is, you know, so powerful and so important and such a pivotal moment that you can really stay engaged in the film. So on one side, it's like it's not too loud. But then exactly as you're saying, as soon as you like are, you know, thinking about it, like, of course, that is Daniel Craig. The voice is there. The swagger is there. And it's one of those cameos where, you know, there's lots of things where different people who are successful or famous want to be involved in the thing they love. And sometimes it's just a cool, they're there. This is actually a great performance.
Yes.
This feels like, you know, Daniel Craig said, I want to be in Star Wars. I, current James Bond, want to be in Star Wars. And if you're going to give me something, I'm going to find my way into it as an actor and knock it out of the park.
Yeah.
Because there's edge to his lines when he's, you know, I believe he says rebel scum as well, right?
Scavenger scum.
Yes. An evolution.
Yeah.
Scavenger scum. But then like, yeah. So he plays that anger and that hatred and that sort of almost a xenophobia toward anybody not First Order. Classism, I guess, with the scavenger scum. But then just the edge, the spin, the energy he puts on the, and my blaster. It's a really good performance that gives it personality, but doesn't like overdo it to be like, yeah, you're still a trooper. You know, you shouldn't be, you know, doing like a weird accent and a soliloquy and a dance, right?
Yeah.
But it's still enough of a performance that it feels different and has some just energy to it.
You're so right on about the acting. Just he's such a good actor and plays the depth, plays the comedy. I know everyone, you know, generally loves his turn in Knives Out. Well, he's an actor, and actors know how to approach the scene, the depths of every scene. And there's so much depth in the scene, and especially for Rey. It's a big moment for Rey, without a doubt. But James Bond in Star Wars, well said, sir. So from there, we'll go to your number four.
My number four is going all the way back to the Phantom Menace, and it is Katie Lucas as Amy. There's a ton I love about this. She was credited as Jenna Green in the credits. She is one of the kids, the Tatooine kids, who are giving Anakin a little bit of a hard time about his pod racer. And she particularly has a line, "You've been working on that thing for years." Which, you know, when I stopped to highlight this, that's the line that I've never given its full due. I've been working on that thing for years. Like, how? That's great. Because sometimes like, oh, he just threw together pod racer. People say like, nope, according to Amy, he's been working on that thing for years. I think when I first noticed this character on rewatches, I didn't realize it was Katie Lucas. Mm-hmm. And I was just enchanted by the fact that it was a Star Wars character just named Amy, spelled A-M-E-E. This is a thing that happens in Star Wars. We like to discuss how all of the Star Wars characters have weird or exotic names and expanded universe parentheses, or not parentheses, you know, apostrophes everywhere. But it's long been a tradition that, you know, hey, Amy, Douglas, Sunvale, and iRepublic, just a human name. But it still amused me. And then the other thing that I just really loved and always noticed, and every once in a while a friend will notice and send me a text like, did I see that? And I'll be like, yep, it is correct. There are braces in space. I love that Katie Lucas just has her braces. I'm not teasing or poking fun. It's something that a lot of people have. And it's just one of those fun details of Star Wars is wild and weird, and then sometimes there's just human stuff in it, and this is one of those moments where there are braces in space. So yeah. I like the moment. There's a lot that makes Amy pop between the name and the braces, but then I think going on, Ken, you know, appreciating how much great work Katie Lucas did as a writer for Clone Wars. We talk a lot about it on the Clone Wars Report, that she wrote that episode Assassin, which is one of my very favorite episodes. I think one of the most important and under-discussed episodes of the Clone Wars. And, of course, just a ton of the development of Asajj Ventress, a ton of who Asajj Ventress is because of Katie Lucas. So I am just as a Star Wars fan, I'm a fan of her work. So it is fun to just be watching Phantom Menace and going, yeah, Katie Lucas.
This is a great choice because, first of all, I'm glad you highlighted that her name was different in the credits, right? Because I'm a credit watcher. I'll go through the credits. This is even in 99. I'll find a way. Maybe it might mean staying in the theater before post-credit scenes were a thing and just looking at the credits. And I feel, again, I feel stupid as a running theme in a lot of these cameos for me. I didn't know, you know, and obviously she grew up. She's very young at the time and grows up. And then I very much knew who she was and very much believe in her contribution to Star Wars. Like Joseph said, I think if you love the Asajj Ventress character beyond what she started out as, that's Katie Lucas. And Jennifer Landon did a great Happy Beeps on that. You guys can look that up here in our back catalog. And I got to tell you, you know, that sequence, there's some, you know, I love Kitster, I love it, but there's some what maybe some delivery of lines that you can look at the Phantom Menace. And, you know, if you think, you know, jokes about pizza rolls are the height of Star Wars criticism, you might look at that and go, that's a bad scene. Right. I'm just saying that. And so, I might've been one of those ones. I was like, and she's got braces. And the other one's like, let's go play ball. And I hate that. I used to be in my car, just angry car guy. And then when I a little bit later on found out it was Katie Lucas, I shut up in the like a school teacher in the Frontier Times had swept my hand with a ruler. Don't condone, but I was like, oh, Ken, you got to shut up because that person has contributed to Star Wars more than you ever will, and you need to respect her. I just remember that, and you know, there's still some fun moments in the scene, and now you and I can approach these scenes, even the ones we don't like as much, and find some joy and fun in them. But just yeah, her being there made sense, and I know she goes on and makes other appearances, but I'm really glad you brought up that appearance because it was a game changer for me. Just Ken, know your role, sit back and enjoy what's in front of you. And it's a great little sequence.
Yeah. Yeah. And if you get past any of the, you know, how do you feel about the delivery that these children did, or, you know, yes. is it too cute or too fun for Star Wars? If you get past any of that and just like, look at what is that telling us about the story and about Anakin growing up, is it contributes really well to his character of he is, you know, just really working hard on this podcast for years, just, you know, trying to, you know, pull himself up by the bootstraps, as it were. And here come his friends in the neighborhood kids going, you dummy.
Yeah.
And he perseveres. It's a good scene. It matters.
Yeah. And you meant pod racer. You said podcast. Which,
oh, did I say podcast?
Podcast. It sounds even better.
Anakin's just there working on that podcast for years. It's going to be the fastest one ever.
Also shows what you and I do every day of our lives. Gosh, that's a great idea. Mos Espa today. Yeah, and you're so right. And that's part of you and I and our appreciation for Phantom Menace and something after I first met you on that Jedi Alliance episode of, wow, let me go back and just engage with what's going on in these movies. And that's a great moment. Great cameo. I'm glad, very glad you chose that one, sir.
Excellent. That is my number four, Katie Lucas in Anakin Builds a Pod Racer, not a podcast. But look for that fan fiction coming from us soon.
Coming soon. My number four, well, it doesn't have the big depth that we've talked about even, you know, this early into the list. It is in Empire Strikes Back. It is an Imperial officer, Lieutenant Shekhill, and it is Jeremy Bullock as this Imperial officer spiriting away Leia as Luke Skywalker shows up. This is where Lando and Lobot and Leia's yelling, it's a trap, it's a trap, Luke, it's a trap. Great little action moment, great little just like a drum snare kind of hit in this quiet tension that's building on Cloud City. I love that sequence. And yeah, Jeremy Bullock is the Imperial officer there, who, of course, is Boba Fett in the other scenes. In fact, so he's in the same scene, essentially. And like I said, no depth, but this is one of the early cameos I picked up on, one of the early ones I learned about. And unfortunately, if you're the wrong person sitting with me watching Empire, I'll still point it out to you like I know what I'm talking about. Also, hey, pause. You know who that is? You know who that is? Yes, we know. You say it every time, Ken. Okay. Yeah, it's Jeremy Bullock. And it was one of those things, I think, the story, if you find the urban legends of making of films, like, I think they needed someone or he was around. I don't necessarily think it was done super, super intentional. like say a Anthony Daniels in Attack of the Clones or something like that. I think it was out of need and him being there. I know there's more of their story, but anyways, I just love it. It's one of those little things. It's just fun. And the fact that it's kind of the same scene, it's the spirit of a good Star Wars cameo.
Yeah, no, and it really makes it so that Luke is running through Cloud City, constantly being foiled by the same person.
Yeah.
From Boba Fett to Lieutenant Shekel.
Yeah.
Luke, you just can't catch up with this guy.
Well, you know, and hey, we learn a little bit more about Boba Fett clones and what he actually looks like. But at the time, you could, you know, headcanon, there's some clonage going on. You know?
yeah. And yeah, Jeremy Bullock's got a storied career and some other great cameos in Star Wars, right? Yep. But this moment, I'm glad you picked this moment, because this is one that I think I know, but I don't actively remember when I'm watching. So I guess we need to sit down and actually watch the films together someday. What a weird thing. We've only done that for watch throughs or watch alongs on YouTube.
Yeah.
But yeah, this is, you know what I really like about this moment, Ken? And it is the power of it was pointed out to me by a friend back in the day, kind of around the prequel era. This is such a, you know, a pivotal moment where Luke's sort of, I'm going to go there to rescue them, but that's not what's happening.
Right.
Comes into focus. And this moment is so great where, you know, Leia is trying to warn him. She's already trying to save him. And in this moment, both Lando and Lieutenant Shekel kind of look at Luke like, who is this guy? Yeah. What's the deal? Why is everything about him? Like, there's a one shot right around here where Lando really kind of squints and he's like, I'm trying to see what's special about this guy. Why all this has to happen for this guy.
So this is why you and I don't need to watch the movies together, because we usually really highlight some of the same things in our mind. I love that Lando look. It's one of my favorite little moments with him. Just like, because it's Lando and he's like, I don't know, somebody named Skywalker. I don't know. I got a cape. I'm cool. And just he seems real like, what is happening? And it's almost like, it's the first time on screen, because I know in maybe some book stuff, he kind of gets the bigger picture, starts to creep into his brain and soul. But it, for me, it works as the first time Lando's like, there's stuff going on that I don't understand.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ah. And Jeremy Bullock as well. So, yeah, good points. Yeah. Good point.
Shoots him that quick look. Great one.
Great one indeed. Thank you, sir. We're now up to your number three best/favorite cameo in Star Wars.
My number three, we're just jumping from trilogies to trilogies here. We're going to go up to the modernish era of the sequel trilogy. Yep. We're going to go to The Last Jedi and Gareth Edwards. Now we're into the modern world, right? Where you have to, instead of having to really look for yourself or dig up some magazine or catch some interview on television to figure out the cameos, now you would have to work to not know about the cameos. Right? You would have to try to mute words on social media to not know about the cameo. So this is not a surprise to anyone, but it is the director of Rogue One, Gareth Edwards, in The Last Jedi. There's a whole director exchange of cameos that play around with some of these movies. But Gareth Edwards is my favorite. This moment is just full of personality and weirdness. So if for some reason anybody isn't familiar with it, it's a cameo on cameo interaction. First, we have the great character Kalun Imat walking up onto the salty surface of Crate. He disrupts the salt so that you can see the red beneath. And then a character named Sergeant Salty Sharp, who is played by key assistant second director Matthew Sharp, tastes the white stuff on the ground in curiosity to what it is that's being disrupted in revealing the red underneath, and says, salt. And then, in perhaps one of the greatest cameos ever, Star Wars director Gareth Edwards looks at Salty Sharp like, weirdo. Earth taster, what are you doing, weirdo? And I love it because this has been, I've literally had fun discussions with friends about, like, what is the point of that scene? Or I get the point of that scene, but could it have been done differently? To other people going, no, that's the greatest thing ever. Mm. You know, it's one of those moments that is just full of sort of fun and flavor and mystery. For me, it is about a lot of this just great aesthetic beauty, and I think, you know, visual meaning of this pure whiteness being cut away to these just like horrific smear of bloody lines that's going to happen in the battle on Crait. It seems to me there's this moment where, you know, we kind of don't want any distraction of what that's about.
Yeah.
So we have this sort of flavorful moment where this curious officer is like, what is this? Oh, it's salt. And then that to me might have been a little like weird, but Gareth Edwards makes it perfect because he makes it about the character, right? It's like, okay, clearly Salty Sharp is somebody who is just like very curious and cannot contain their curiosity and needs to know, you know, clearly Sergeant Salty Sharp would need to watch and or make lots of explainer videos. And Gareth Edwards' character is just like, did you need to know that? Does that change anything? Weirdo Earth Taster. It's just, it makes it a really human interaction and a funny interaction.
I've always been on Team Salt. I've thought there's so much in the scene, and I got to imagine once you learned it's Sergeant Salty Sharp, this is like, I'm like, does he go around to every battle and just is like, it's not salt. And that just, and this is his moment. This is his moment. Yeah, and the focus is on Gareth Edwards. And you're right, it's a cameo and a cameo and a cameo. Even, you know, Major Emot is played by the now late, unfortunately, passed away of COVID this past year, but Andrew Jack, the great dialect coach. I mean, he's in Force Awakens, so it doesn't feel like a cameo, and he had been in, done some acting before. But, you know, this is like layers of cameo. This is layers of in everything in this scene. And I think you're right. I think it's Gareth Edwards is us in that moment, and I like being represented in those moments and things.
Yeah, and it is also fascinating with cameos. Now that you know, we live in a world where we know readily what directors look like, right? And that isn't that big of a deep cut. That's Gareth Edwards. No, it's not that deep of a cut. That's the guy who just did a massive round of press a year before.
Yeah,
for Rogue One. So there's always that, if you're going to have a cameo, is it something that's incredibly hidden or something that's like really in the background? And I'm fascinated by the fact that this is not even remotely in the background. It is
right,
full, clear, with a real emotional intent.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's got his Gareth Edwards hair, his little, you know, cheeky mop top of hair.
Yeah. Yeah. Speaking of which, I can't get through this cameo discussion without a quick diversion, Ken, to Game of Thrones. I'm going to bring it up before you, Ken.
Hi, there you go.
Ed, what's the singer's? Sheeran?
Ed Sheeran.
How do you feel about his when he pops up in Game of Thrones with his Ed Sheeran hair? He just is Ed Sheeran.
I have not, I'll say to 90%, not a problem with that scene. I knew who Ed Sheeran was, but in that moment, I didn't know who it was. And until you know, the next morning you wake up and Twitter is afire and he's had to leave Twitter. I knew a little bit of it. It was the producers, Dan and David, giving Maisie Williams a gift. She was a big fan. And they were like, hey, surprise, your favorite singer's here. And so I always liked that angle of it. But it never took me out. But now I can't unsee it. So anytime I watch this scene, I'm like, yeah, yep, definitely had Sheeran, and now he's singing. So I understand why it could take people out. I don't fight people on that at all. I was so in the moment, I didn't think about it. But this one I did, you know. This one, I was like, hey, Gareth Edwards. I almost like stood up in the screening. Hey, everybody, oh, wait, Gareth is over there. Hey, Gareth,
that's cool. Right, because you were at the premiere, so Gareth was probably spending the entire after party recreating his great, what are you doing, look?
Yeah. Hey, that was me. I would do that. You kidding me? I would do that.
Yeah. So I love that scene. I love that beat. And I just think it is a moment of absolutely great, funny little acting.
Yeah, that's great. And that's part of this, too. It's our reaction to him, why we love him. I love it. That's a great choice. Stand by your choice, sir.
I do. I stand by it. Salt.
Salt. All right. My number three. Is going to The Rise of Skywalker. I do believe this is a double cameo, but I'm focusing on one side here. We got two stormtroopers with some fun cameos in this sequence. I do believe they're side by side. I forgot to confirm that, but one of them, J.D. Dillard is in Rise of Skywalker's FN 1226, 1226 is his birthday, I believe. And he's working on a Star Wars project. Remember, we got that announcement. So this is one of those things you're going to look back and it's going to have even more meaning. But in the sequence and in the movie and in the credits that caused me to go, wait, what? Is Danny Harrison. as FN0878, his birth year and month. He is a stormtrooper. He, of course, is the son of my favorite Beatle, George Harrison. I'm a giant Beatle guy, and specifically, I'm a giant George Harrison guy. And I, you know, you don't see it. He's got the mask on. You don't hear the voice and go, that sounds vaguely like the father. I enjoy his music. I also enjoy Danny's music as well. Great stuff. But I saw the credits and it popped out and I was like, what in the world did I just see? And I think I saw tears in my eyes from the last act of that movie making me cry. And I was like, I made that up. And then, you know, it's revealed, nope, it's true. Danny Harrison is a stormtrooper, and just love it. I celebrate for that. It's a funny little beat around the Knights of Ren. I do believe that whole sequence. And I just love it. And that to me is we can go these Daniel Craig cameos, a little more oomph to the scene, all the stuff you're talking about here, but all just so this fun little thing. Like, hey, I don't even know the story of how it happened yet. To be honest, I don't know. I don't know if J.J. Abrams was like, let's get in a Son of the Beatles here. Let's get Danny Harrison in. So, man, that's kind of the depth of the scene, Joseph. I could start talking about the Beatles, but I just love a Harrison in Star Wars.
Oh, yeah. No, that's great. I think that is a part of what the cameo love about is two different things that you love coming together.
Yeah.
Do you know where he appears? You said in the...
I just watched his movie last night. I do believe it is the ghouls scene.
Okay, nice. Yeah, I believe. Nice.
Or, ooh, my memory might be wrong. And someone's probably already fired up a tweet. And thank you. I think, or maybe it is the moment. Oh, now I'm thinking about it where Ray does the mind trick.
Yeah, I just Googled a old Slash film article, and that's the picture, but it's okay. But there's many stormtroopers listed, and then of course, just to bring it full circle, Ed Sheeran played an alien.
He did, yeah. I forgot. Yeah, he is. Yeah. No, you're right. I forgot to get some of the details on that when I was doing this last night. But yes, no, I think you're right. I think it is that sequence. I think it is that one because I think J.D. Dillard's got the kind of friendly, almost friendly tone when Ray does.
Oh, yeah. It's great you're here.
Yeah. I think it's that. So anyways, I love that. Love that sequence.
That is awesome. That is a great choice.
Yeah, that is my number three, which means we're up to your number two as we work towards the top of the best cameos in Star Wars.
My number two is not perhaps as potent as the generational joy of the son of a Beatle being in the very generational tale of Rise of Skywalker. But this is one of the first mind-blowing for me realizations, epiphanies, right? Empire Strikes Back had long been one of my favorite films. But like I've mentioned in recent podcasts, like I was only able to see the film so often. And it lived for me in storybooks and the novelization and the action figures and trading cards. And when my family finally joined the modern age and got a VHS, one of the first things I went to do is went out and bought copies of the films. And there I was watching Empire Strikes Back and saw out of the blue Cliff Clavin from Cheers on Hoth, and it blew my mind. I was a huge fan of Cheers. I think the style of the writing and all the writing being very, very sharp comedy, but all really flowing from the characters and a mixture of like big laughs and treating the characters as real and like the things that they care about matter. Cheers made a big impact on me, and where I lived in Minneapolis, not only did I watch it every Thursday night, but it was on after the news at 10:30, and I watched Cheers every night.
Right.
And to this day, like if you said, hey, just start reciting Cheers, I couldn't do it. But when I'm sitting and watching an episode, like I always know the next line. I just watched it that much growing up. So that's just a little bit of background to just be like, for me, it wasn't trivia. It was like, I have an emotional relationship that's Cliff Clavin from this one thing that I love that is worlds apart from Empire Strikes Back. And here's this thing I've loved since I was a kid, but haven't really been able to spend time with the actual thing. And instead have spent time with proxies of the thing. And now when I get to spend time with the thing again, I am amazed to discover that I'll have some respect for the actor, John Ratzenberger, use his name, not just Cliff Clavin. But the point to me is it was Cliff Clavin.
Yes.
So amazing to see John Ratzenberger is Bren Derlin. maybe more than a cameo with the amount of lines. He is the one who is telling Leia that the shield doors must be closed. And he's got, you know, gruff voice there. And then later, at the end of Leia's great briefing, everybody to your stations, let's go. Which sounds a little bit more Cliffy like. So some great moments. But the thing, I revisited his scenes this morning, Ken, and the thing that I enjoyed the most at this point in my life is this. He is a part of this great little moment. Empire Strikes Back is full of great little considered moments where the one officer is reporting loudly that all the scouts have come back and Skywalker and Solo have not reported in. And John Ratzenberger, Bren Derlin, shushes him so Leia doesn't hear it as clearly.
Yes.
And it is so amazing, if you're a fan of Cliff Clavin, to see a moment where Cliff Clavin is the one with tact and consideration.
Man, this is a great one because it's an all-timer. It's an all-timer, but it is the way you're explaining it and the way the connection is probably shared with a lot of folks out there and a lot of people in our generation. And I love that. It's that shared unique journey we all have. And for me, I'm a big fan of Cheers, and there's that moment. And there is something about this cameo. It's one of the first times when I was very young, and I wasn't allowed to watch Cheers until a little bit later. Adult themes wasn't really allowed around my house. But when I was young enough when I figured it out, and that this was this moment is when I learned that actors take jobs in other things. Actors sometimes put on accents that maybe aren't theirs directly. You know, I think Ratzenberger's from like Connecticut, but you know, Boston strong there with that accent, and that check the credits. This was when I started maybe checking the credits, because the answer's there. And that's why I have emotional reaction to it, because the scenes, everything. He's in some important moments with Leia and Hoth and everything. But that for me was a wait a minute. That guy's not a postman from Boston.
How can this be?
How can it be?
Yeah. And I think it'll always mean a lot to me too, because it's just that. It was that joy of discovery. Like I got to go to school, and the friends that I felt safe talking to Star Wars about, I was like, do you know?
Yes.
That Cliff Clavin is in Empire Strikes Back, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and true, your friends that you felt safe enough to discuss Star Wars with was a thing. And two, can you even discuss it? Yeah, absolutely. One of those moments. And it's one of those maybe early shared around facts, you know, and I could counter with, well, the Boba Fett's also in the hallway there in Empire in Cloud City. But yeah, you're right. It's one of those, like, guess what I learned?
Yes. Yes. And now most things are, you know, learned from listicles, or just, hey, that's Ed Sheeran.
Yeah. Or just go to Twitter and find where the screaming is at a cameo.
Yeah. And it was great too, because I just waited for years knowing eventually, given how action figures used to work, there will be a Bren Derlin action figure. And sure enough, there is a quality action figure I'm proud to own.
Yes. Absolutely is. And personal postscript on just the mention of Ratzenberger's name. Early in my stand-up career, he and his son came to the Hollywood Improv, sat front left of the stage, and I bombed in front of him. And I looked him directly in the eyes, as I could see in his face, that guy's not funny. And that haunted me for a little bit.
You might be reading into
it. Well, trust me, the set wasn't good.
I trust your instincts on that. Whether or not you were able to successfully read the true emotions, you might have had some bad salsa. You don't know.
Yeah, well, and you know, and he's a good actor, because I thought he was from Boston the whole time. So there you go. There you go. All right, that is a great choice for your number two. Cliff Clavin, John Ratzenberger in Empire Strikes Back. We're going to my number two. We're going to The Last Jedi 2017, and it is the Hamill kids, Nathan, Griffin, Chelsea, all in crate, all popping up when their father, Mark Hamill himself, Luke Skywalker, magically appears. It was a fun moment. You and I, Joseph, over time have become friends with Nathan and good cat. I think I've met Griffin and Chelsea in passing, to be clear, but they're a fun group. They're a fun family. And Nathan just kept it secret, as he could, you know, never mentioned. And we were at the, I was fortunate enough to be the Last Jedi premiere. And then at the after party, he just kind of comes up quietly. I was like, it was you. He's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's fun. And I just love the sequence. I love the scene. It is kind of, most people know by now, but it was in the moment. You're just like, hey. And it's a connected character. Nathan's character is his Saleh Minow. It's a mix up of most of his words there in his name. And it's connected to his cameo that you don't really see in The Phantom Menace. He's a spectator. And in the background there, and a Boo Palace guard, I believe, as well. So there's some canon connections there. And then one of his relatives, I do believe they name her in the Clone Wars, if I'm not sure, if I'm mistaken. It's been a while. So anyways, I just love it. It's so fun to see it. And then Nathan has told the story of Oscar Isaac, who pops up in front of him in the foreground of the scene, told all three of them, here's what you do. Take your time getting up. So they have to get the entire shot and you get more screen time. Don't pop up. Come up slowly.
That is great. Oscar Isaac being a hero once again. Yeah, Nathan is a great guy. The sense of just joy in the spirit of fun and adventure and enjoying life that his father displays on social media for all to see and in his interviews. Clearly that runs in the family because Nathan is just a great guy with a sense of fun and enjoyment of the world and life. And I think what is so great about that shot is exactly what you highlighted. There could have been lots of moments, but I love that they're like, wow, is dad back?
Yeah. Dad's home.
Yeah, it's a total dad's home. And it really works as a shot of everybody trying to figure out what's going on. Really, really works.
Yeah, and they, you know, and Mark is, I've never met Mark other than a phone call in Schmoes years ago, but they're a very close family and very supportive family, and it makes sense. Mark, Chelsea's like his personal assistant. They travel everywhere. They take the dogs everywhere. Like, you know, it's a family affair at times, and just I like the idea of Mark going out there to shoot, you know, Last Jedi and going, hey, kids are coming with me.
Yeah.
So there you go. I love that one. That's my number two. Before we get to our number ones, we always like to do some runner ups, some choices that got so close but didn't quite make it. Joseph, what's some of the ones on your list here?
Yeah, very, very close to making it to my list is Dominic West as Naboo guard in Phantom Menace. This is one of those ones that for me, he was always just the guy who says the boy's here to see Padme. But then eventually, I know Dominic West has done many things, but I know him from one of my personal favorite television shows, The Wire. Very good show. Dominic West, amazing actor. And this was one of those ones where, hey, I was watching Phantom Menace for the zillionth time. And I was like, wait.
Yeah.
Naboo guard is awfully familiar to me suddenly. That's Dominic West. So that is a high one up for me. There's a lot in the prequels that is on purpose, and there's a lot like that person isn't yet just blazingly famous as they will become. You know?
Yeah. 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 It becomes more than a cameo over time. But I love that. I love actors getting their first starts or, you know, getting in or just showing up on set. But yeah, that's a good one. And Naboo seemed to have a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot going on in Naboo. Another one for me is going more recent to Rise of Skywalker and going to just voice. And that is the fact that screenwriter Chris Terrio is the voice of Junior Aftab Ackbar. That was just really fun. Just like, yeah, let the writers do some voice work. Maybe that's coming from a personal place from me. I'm not sure. But that was that's always a good one because Aftab Ackbar character is, you know, doesn't need to be a scene stealer to steal our hearts because of, you know, that tradition of legacy.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and it's, I was just watching Rise of Skywalker the other night and it's good. Like I remember hearing it in the theater and, you know, I didn't know it was Chris Terrio, but it was just like, oh, they got someone good to do a younger sounding son of Ackbar. It makes sense. And so I think it's a good little.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Life is full of what-ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Yeah. Another one that is very close to being in my list, and the size of it makes it a cameo. Yeah, cameo, but it is kind of a full scene in some ways, and that is Jet Lucas is Zet Jocasa.
Yeah.
I've always loved that scene. We've talked about it a lot, and that character, time to go, and so it is. But I really like that. The character, the scene, to just see that moment of a Padawan fighting back is a great moment. And then it's even more fun. We're like, hey, it's a cameo.
Yeah. Oh, great one. Love that.
But I got two more, but I want to kick back to you.
Yeah. Absolutely. I'm going to, Rogue One, you mentioned the Gareth Edwards thing, and there was, by the way, Gareth cameos in his own film in Rogue One, right? So we'll have to get the canon connection on those characters. But the Rian Johnson in Rogue One is a Death Star gunner. when they go attack Jedha, I believe he's one of the ones there doing the old classic duck your head as if that will save you from the laser. But apparently it does. It works. And that's always one of my favorite things, Return of the Jedi. And so when I found it was Rian Johnson, not only is it fun, like this director cameo exchange is kind of fun. And at the time when you learned it, like, Last Jedi, we hadn't seen it yet. It was like, oh, that's cool. Like it's a family affair type of thing. I just love it too, because it is one of those moments. If they were like, Ken, do you, we need you to cameo. Could you be a Death Star gunner? I'd be like, done, and I know what to do. I'm going to tuck my head and turn over slightly, because that's what they do. And I've watched that scene 59 times last month. So Rian, really, you could tell as a fan, just was probably so excited to do that Death Star gunner duck.
Yeah, and I believe he's there with his producing partner, Ron Bergman, right?
Is Ron there too? I see. There you go. Now I've learned. I love that.
Yeah, that's a great pick too. And I do. I think maybe that almost makes me like a Gareth Edwards' appearance in Last Jedi even more, that they have this exchange. Like, what do you want to do? Yeah. Oh, Ryan, can you be like totally obscured from head to toe and utterly unrecognizable? Yeah, absolutely. And then Gareth Edwards or Rian Johnson deciding, Gareth Edwards' face will be huge and full of emotion.
That's one of my choices there. And then I'm going to go to two from Last Jedi, one that's famous or infamous, depending on your point of view. That is Justin Theroux as the Codebreaker in Last Jedi. I love it, and I've always loved it. I don't know. It doesn't necessarily take me out of the scene. I did have one of those, like, hey, is that moment? So therefore, I know it doesn't work for everybody, but I just kind of like it. And you hear Justin Theroux kind of describe it as, Johnson saying, hey, come in here. It's kind of key to the story, but it's also a plot. It's a punchline and therefore not super important. Could you come in and do it? Yeah, I'll come in and do that. I've always kind of liked that one there. You know, I don't know. Maybe I'm alone on the island of the Codebreaker.
No. I really like a lot of Justin Theroux's work. Fascinating career. Absolutely great in one of my favorite David Lynch films, Mulholland Drive. So it's really fun to see him. And I love that moment of that feeling of, but for fate, this would have been a different story. You know, if they had found this guy, what would have happened? You know, it is a Star Wars being a story of, you know, destiny and choice and fate of, like, here's what was behind door number one. Is really fun. And he totally embodies that James Bond in space, which I really, really think is great. And I like that the music does it too, because Star Wars does pull from lots of different genres. So we have the actor of James Bond in space in The Force Awakens, and then we have the mood of the character James Bond in The Last Jedi.
Absolutely there. And then sticking in Last Jedi, this is one that I learned after, because it's not someone I would necessarily know, but it had stood out before I knew him. And it is the opening sequence there, the escape from Dakar. And it is Ben Morris, the visual effects supervisor. He is piloting one of the bombers of the Resistance. He is kind of an older gentleman, some gray in his beard and hair. And that stands out to you and I often, Joseph. We track the old crusty guys there in Star Wars. And so I just liked it. And I remember thinking, oh, that's awesome. Like, they got some actor to come in and just kind of be this old Resistance pilot that probably fought in the Civil War, the Galactic Civil War, and had a story to tell. And come to find out later, it's Ben Morris. And I found that out by watching the director and the Jedi talk. And they didn't say it. I hadn't seen an article out there. Here's the cameos from Last Jedi yet. And if I did, I skipped that one or missed it. But I was watching the documentary and he comes up in an interview and I was like, that's the rebel. That's the resistant pilot. That's that pilot. Oh my God. And then confirm it is. So I love, we don't know everything here on Force Center. We love learning. You know, Ron Berg, that's Ron Berg. I just learned that right now. So I learned the Ben Morris thing. And I love it because it works so well. Just this old crusty resistance pilot.
Yeah. Oh, this is such a great, great segue, Ken. Should I go back to mine?
Yes. Yes, please.
Okay, because I realize my last two cameos are both people of an age to have some silver in their hair.
Star Wars silver foxes.
Star Wars silver foxes. I'm going to go to Rise of Skywalker. I think it is one of the great cameos of all time. John Williams is Oma Tress, right?
Yes.
I think that it was talked about beforehand that it was going to come, right? And if not, it was, I think, for anybody who has been at all interested in film, they know what John Williams looks like.
Yeah.
So everybody can be in on that cameo. And it's really fast, really great. But he's just, we've talked about all these different great behind the scenes people who have been highlighted. And I think totally accurately that idea of, like, wait, John Williams has never been on screen. That is a must for this last film of the Skywalker saga. And I think it's just a great moment and a needed moment.
Yeah. And it's it's such a blip. And it works, right? You see it on screen, but then you get the documentary that, you know, the care that went into every prop being from one of his movies that he scored. It's crazy. And you almost want an entire scene. I think it worked the right way. It's kind of what you want to do, but I just love the care that went into that moment.
Yeah, no, that is great and mind blowing in the documentary of, like, this is not just a fun drive by. It is in the film, but for us making the film and for people who want to pause the film, this is a moment. Well, we're going to celebrate it. My last one is, speaking of absolute Star Wars greats appearing in on screen, Ralph McQuarrie is Farrell McQuarrie. This is an appearance in Empire Strikes Back. There are other designers about, including Joe Johnston. It's on Hoth. But Ralph McQuarrie, as Farrell McQuarrie, getting to walk quickly in front of his own matte painting, holding a drawing board, and showing off those great silver fox locks.
Yeah.
Ralph McQuarrie, you know, up there with Ben Burtt, there's so much that makes Star Wars work. The original film, Star Wars, Lucas absolutely having a vision and then finding all of these amazing people to make that vision sing. You know, Ben Burtt, John Williams, Ralph McQuarrie. It's great to see those people all on screen.
Yeah, great. And it's a freeze frame one. You know, if you look it up online, most of them are just blurred freeze frames of him walking by. But when you're watching the movie, I think it works a little bit more. You can see it once you're looking for it. It's a great little one.
Yeah, great little one, walking past his own matte painting. So those are my runner-ups, Ken.
Yeah, a couple more for me. Michael Giacchino as the Stormtrooper in The Force Awakens in the opening sequence. There's a couple, what's his name? I'm a music guy. I forget. He's a music producer. They're the Stormtroopers that kind of punch Poe in the gut. So he's there. Lin-Manuel Miranda in Rise of Skywalker. You see him there celebrating at the end with the Resistance. So great moments for me too. But we have to close with this one, I think, in our runner ups here. Going to the Phantom Menace, and it is the gum chomping, F bomb dropping producer of the whole sequels or prequels, Rick McCallum as a Naboo Noble. Ben Burtt there as well, but that doesn't stand out as much as Colonel Dyer. But Rick McCallum is at the end of the Phantom Menace, and once you see it, you can't unsee it, and you always focus on it.
No, I'm so glad that you included this one because Rick McCallum is just the one of the stars of all of the behind the scenes footage and documentaries that have been made for the prequels. He's always there, always chomping that gum. I got to rewatch these to see how often he swears, because in my mind, it's a lot.
Yeah.
Getting to see him as a noble who's celebrating and feeling like, oh man, he's chomping on that space gum and he's about to go that effing invasion.
Just it's him on the radio after the sandstorm hits. There's a lot of bleep bleep over, bleep bleep over. Where's Liam's wig? Have you tried Algeria? Over, bleep bleep bleep. I love it. So that's the end of our runner ups. We're gonna get to our number ones. We will mention we didn't put him in the Hall of Fame just because. It just seemed too obvious, but we do enjoy George Lucas's Baron Papinoia in Revenge of the Sith.
You know? Yeah, that does seem like the one that absolutely must be mentioned, right? And maybe you and I are like, yeah, because we just did that whole deep dive of that character from his Sphere of Influence episode of Clone Wars. George Lucas, the maker with two blasters blazing.
Yeah. Two blasters blazing. Love that one there. So we're going to get to our number one choice. This is our favorite, but also the best cameos in Star Wars, because this is Star Wars ranked. It's all fact. Our personal opinion. My number one, we'll go with my number one. So Joseph can close the show with his number one. It ties into the spirit of what you mentioned with Ben Burtt as Colonel Dyer in Return of the Jedi, because it's the same movie around the same time. It is director Richard Marquand and producer Robert Watts as ATS drivers in Return of the Jedi. Depending on where you look, it's either Major Newland or Major Marquand and Lieutenant Blenad or Lieutenant Watts. I was trying to research it, and they're listed sometimes the same in the same entry. It's just one of those little kind of fun Star Wars canon little quirks. But we'll go with Major Marquand and Lieutenant Watts. They're the ATSD drivers that are pulled out of, and one pulled out, I believe Watts is, and or is Marquand is beat up. Well, it doesn't end well for either of them. And so to go when you were saying up top to start a list, Joseph, this is a moment I love in Return of the Jedi. And it's a moment I loved as a 7-year-old seeing the movie of, Chewie and those Ewoks took over that walker and they beat those Imperial pilots and they tossed one down and he screamed, and I like it. And then a few years later, I learned that it is the director and one of the producers of the picture. And you said earlier, we grew up knowing these names. We became obsessed with some of the behind the scenes names, but you didn't necessarily always know them. You might have known what Joe Johnston or John Dykstra or Dennis Muren and others looked like, but you didn't know everyone. And with directors specifically, even though I'd seen some shots of Richard Marquand, I saw some behind the scenes stuff of him on Brightree Village going over some scenes. I've seen him. I saw him in the documentary. I just never connected. You don't see it until you see it. And when I learned it, I just felt a little dumb, a little embarrassed, but also just, wow, that is awesome. That's amazing. And maybe the first time I learned about the cool concept of a good old fashioned director cameo. You know, the Hitchcock stuff is out there. You get all those, I studied film. You see all the great directors throwing themselves in movies every now and then. Peter Jackson, Lord of the Rings, totally. But Richard Marquand joining the Empires, probably my favorite one.
Yeah, I think I learned this one from you. I don't think I ever knew that. I don't know why it didn't pop up. I think it is maybe because it isn't highlight. You know, it doesn't really like, it's not like that ATSD driver like takes their helmet and goggles off and like looks right at the camera like, hi, surprise, it's me, right? I think also in my mind too, it's because when I think of cameos, I think of things that are going to be a little bit more stationary. Yeah. I don't think being yanked out of the shot by Chewbacca.
And tossed down to the floor of Endor. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure it's not all one fluid take, but yeah. It's such an active scene.
Yeah. And what's interesting for me is the ATSD driver figure that Kenner released. I'm not saying it's Marquand, but like I always assumed it was that guy as a kid. Like that's the figure was that guy, right? Because that's the only one you really got to know personally, other than Han pretending to be one. So, in my mind, that is a Richard Marquand, the late Richard Marquand action figure. I'll take it and it works for me. You know, we need a Robert Watts one as well.
Yeah, that is great. And I will I'll piggyback on there that, Richard Marquand did a lot of great work because he did the voice of EV-99, right?
He did. Great pull. He absolutely did. Much like Abrams as Dio, which I guess would count as one as well. Marquand being a droid.
Yeah. No, that is great. The other night, my wife and I were watching some episodes of Star Trek Discovery, and we both had the really surreal experience of we quietly heard the Star Wars theme playing. And we're like, and our neighbors were watching Star Wars.
Oh.
And by the time we finished the episode of Discovery, Sarah's like, did you hear the Star Wars theme? I was like, yeah. And then I heard, even faintly, EV-99's very distinctive voice through the walls. Like, yeah, they're watching Return of the Jedi. I hear EV-99. I hear Richard Marquand through the walls.
I love that. Nerds united, whether they know it or not.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So that's a great, great pick.
There it is. My number one, Richard Marquand. Robert Watson, Return of the Jedi. But sir, what is your number one?
My number one is weird because it is a very short cameo from a certain point of view and a little bit of a longer cameo from another point of view if you think just about the character. But my number one is Swordmaster Nick Gillard is Sin Drawlig. This is, of course, for me, as much about the character or the moment of the cameo as it is about honoring the person who contributed. When the prequels were coming out and they kept putting out, even before the films, they put out all those little teaser videos, right? Like that really focused on the behind the scenes. And it was the first time in my life where like I really created, I felt a bond forged between myself and the creators much more than just like the one person. Yeah. Because of those videos, because you got to see what they did. And I had so deeply loved in The Phantom Menace, the entire lightsaber fight, but in particular the Obi-Wan Maul fight in The Phantom Menace, that I was like, Nick Gillard, that is the human who gave me this gift. So I got so invested in him. And then as the buildup to Revenge of the Sith, I'm like, yeah, and he is, I remember talking to friends like, whatever else happens in this film, Nick Gillard is creating this amazing lightsaber fight between Anakin and Obi-Wan. And so I think for me, it is slightly about how much I bonded to this behind the scenes creator wanting to see them on screen. And then you and I have covered everything from random actor who will go on to be well known for something else to a director in a, you know, fun moment. This is maybe the most perfect marriage between the actual creation of the human and the purpose of the character.
Yeah. Yeah.
That Syndralig is, you know, the swordmaster of the Jedi, right?
Yeah.
And he appears in Revenge of the Sith extremely briefly. I rewatched it and forgot how incredibly brief it is.
Right.
Great scene. Yoda and Obi-Wan have been in the temple. They have seen the slaughter. They have reprogrammed the message warning Jedi to go away. And Obi-Wan can't leave without going into the hall of recordings. He needs to know. Yoda warns him he will only find pain. And he immediately finds some pain as he sees Vader, Anakin, fighting the two Padawans in this Jedi, and it is Nick Gillard is Syndralic. It goes by very, very fast.
Yeah.
The Padawans are some cameos as well. We Maru and Bene. Bene is played by Rick McCallum's daughter.
Right.
But then we get to see Syndralic pop up in Clone Wars, and you know the character has a life in another stories. The character kind of has a life and identity of his own. But I think that, even though it's so brief, it is, for me, it's celebrating the contribution of this creator, the creator being perfectly matched to the character that he's playing in the cameo, and then also just the importance of this moment of Obi-Wan having to see this, and the kind of, you don't get to focus on the film, but for me, it is an important moment to see, yeah, Anakin is fighting people he knows, and letting all that resentment fly, and even this great Jedi, a swordmaster, Syndralic, he's going to take him down too. The moment is important as well.
Yeah, and I think all, yeah, this is, you're taking all the great reasons behind why we love cameos, and it's all roads lead to this. Fun, hey, maybe you don't know it, maybe you do, a lot to the scene, a lot to the moment, and just one that can have a lot of, you can have an emotional connection to. And clearly you do, and it's one of the ones when I first learned it, it's more than just a fact. It's canon. It's with purpose and a just reward for someone who works so hard, like you said, to give us these gifts. If you like these, a lot of the fights, and I do, and I'm one of those people that do like the difference in the lightsaber fighting style from the original trilogy to this one, because I buy in on George's idea of these are people at the height of their powers, at the top of their skills, and it makes sense. And he's such a, you know, I like a lot of folks love the documentary, the beginning, the great Phantom Menace doc, and he's all through that. And just the joy of you and doing the lightsaber fight and breaking the lightsabers, and there's Nick right there. So I love it. Great moment, great purpose, and great character too, which we get a little bit more time with later on, right? Pops up every now and then in Clone Wars. So by that, we need a 6-inch Black Series.
Yes, that's what we're coming to is for those characters who don't yet have action figures. Let's go.
Let's go indeed. Well, there it is. That is our list. The best cameos in Star Wars, the ones that are our personal favorites. I'm sure all of you out there have your own, have maybe some similar experiences and shared names on your list, but we'd love to know about it. You can do so by reaching out to us on Twitter at Force Center Pod. Use hashtag Star Wars Ranked. We're on Instagram, YouTube as well. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. You can get an audiobook on us by going to audibletrial.com/Force Center. Get some merch at tpublic.com/user/Force Center, and you can support us directly at patreon.com. You can follow me at Ken Napsok or go to my website, kennapsok.com, for more. Joseph, as we start to open back up, your website becomes important again, because I'm sure soon, one day soon, you're going to have a great show to promote.
Yes, we'll see. Yeah, it is such a weird, weird time as everything slowly gets shakes the rust off and comes back to life. But you can find me Twitter, Instagram, TikTok as at Joseph Scrimshaw. Same handle for all those things. And as Ken was just saying, you can go to my website. That's josephscrimshaw.com. It has comedy albums, my other podcast, Obsessed, and eventually links to other live shows. Yes, live.
I'm
very excited for that day.
Yeah, absolutely. Indeed. Yes. Please check out Joseph on TikTok. He's doing some great work, doing the Lord's work over there for over there. It's great stuff. So wonderful, list, Joseph. Thank you for sharing all your names, but also more importantly, your emotional connection and memories around these. That's why we do this. That's what Star Wars Ranked is about. So for all of the wonderful cameos we've seen and yet to fully see, that is it. Star Wars has been ranked.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.